Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I told my producer James Ward back in New York, we got to track down our next guest. I love this guy, John Crispin, Big Ten Network, Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. And I like this guy because he's a straight shooter. You know, sometimes I feel like with certain analysts, you might not get everything. They might pull some punches, might not give you, you know, it's a opinion that sometimes people disagree with. And that's one of the things I really like about John Crispin, our next guest, is that he tells it like it is. I thought he did a great job with the Big Ten tournament a couple of weeks ago in New York City, and now he's our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. John, take me through the end of the Michigan-Florida State game. How did you feel about Florida State calling off the dogs with 12 seconds left?
I was confused. I was confused the entire time. There's plenty of time left. And quite frankly, after the game, Leonard Hamilton actually thought there was more. He said there was 15 seconds on the clock. If that's the case, how are you not fouling to extend the basketball game? I was blown away because you see in that moment, guys, particularly when it comes to going to the Final Four, they will foul down to the last fraction of a second to keep that season alive. So to see them pack it in like that, when Michigan was still within striking distance, not to mention the fact that Michigan can't shoot free throws.
Yeah.
It's a team that doesn't shoot free throws. Well, how do you not foul and extend the basketball game? That seems to be a no-brainer. I mean, fifth grade teams do that.
I agree, John, and I still haven't gotten a good explanation on Florida State's end. The guy that had the ball there with 12 seconds left, Robinson, is an excellent free throw shooter. He's one of the only ones. He's a 90%er. But let's say he even goes to the line and knocks down two. It's still a two-possession game with 11 seconds left. You got a shot. It's a small one, but you're alive.
Yes, we've seen crazy things happen in the NCAA tournament, and the pressure is what weighs on you.
I agree.
The pressure is what defies a 90% free throw shooter. So I would love to put Duncan Robinson in that situation and say, go ahead, win the game. But if you miss, we're going to have an opportunity. So I don't really understand it. He seemed way too cavalier about it after the game, almost as if he was surprised Dana Jacobson asked him that question, which was like, did you not realize that you were still in the game? It was strange. It was strange.
Yeah, and then his players, too. I mean, why aren't they just going all out there in that spot? I didn't get that. And if you had watched the game, John, you knew this. Michigan, it seemed like every time they tried to get the ball in bounds, they had a problem with that pressure.
Yes.
And so even then, again, if you make a three and make it a three-point game, you might get a five-second call or a turnover. So I'm lost on what Hamilton did. I still have not heard anybody give it a rationale that makes sense to me. Did you see this coming with Michigan? Were they a team that, you know, based on what they did in New York, you thought they were going to come into this tournament and have a really good shot at making it to San Antonio?
Absolutely. I didn't see this in early January, I'll tell you that. I didn't see it in December and November. But late January into February, you started to see this team come together. They did it with defense, you know, surprisingly enough, with a John Beilein team. They're known for their offense. They became really good defensively, one of the top five in the country in defensive efficiency. And what makes them so good is their adaptability. You know, you think of a good coach. A good coach is not just one way or the other. He adapts to the different personnel. He adapts to the different personalities. Even though he coaches to his personality, he adapts in many ways. And that's what this team does. This team adapts in some ways to their opponents while still controlling the game. So they're able to play in a grinded-out game. They're able to go out and score 90 if it's up and down the floor. I mean, that's the type of team they are, which I think sets them up against any opponent. So long as Mo Wagner stays out of foul trouble, I think they're a really good team. They could win a national championship. But if he gets in foul trouble, we got problems.
And he's gotten into foul trouble in these last couple of games where he's had four late.
He's an emotional guy. He's one of those emotional guys where you love the emotion, but at the same time, the same thing that makes him great could also be his demise. And getting on the bench, it doesn't matter how emotional you are, the guy waving the towel can't impact the game that much. So he's got to be on the floor.
John, have they backed off the 1-3-1? I'm in Pittsburgh, so I watch Beilein a lot at West Virginia. When I think of John Beilein's defense, I think of that 1-3-1 zone. Have we seen Michigan do a lot of that this year?
Not really much at all. I mean, we haven't seen much zone from them at all. And I think that was just kind of an old staple. I think he's developed in many ways. He's brought on more coaches that can coach defense where he doesn't have to focus. Luke Jaklic, Luke Jaklic came in this year as basically the defensive assistant, where his job is to run the defense. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing across the board, where coaches have assistants focus on one specific thing, where it's you run the defense, somebody else does the scout, somebody else does the offense and really focuses on that, so that everything kind of works in concert, where you're not really stepping on, coach doesn't come down and put a defense in that doesn't really work with the offense or vice versa. So right now, it's a man-to-man defense that is just safe. It doesn't create a ton of turnovers, but it doesn't give up a lot of easy scoring opportunities, and it always puts you in position to rebound, which is something that far too many coaches just don't seem to get. They chase around, they pressure, they give up layups, and they also give up offensive rebounding opportunities. This defense doesn't do it.
John Crispin, Big Ten Network, Westwood One, NCAA Radio, my guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Loyola, what's impressed you most about their run to the Final Four?
Their consistency. I mean, the NCAA tournament is the type of thing where it just messes with you in every way. It messes with your head. It messes with your emotions. It questions whether you should trust your teammates or not. Well, this Loyola team has all of those things in place. They are not questioning one another. They're not questioning their own ability. They trust in their skill set. They trust in one another. They trust in the system that they run. And it's crazy to see that in a situation where they've continued to advance. You just felt at some point the pressure is going to get to them. At some point, the fact that they're not the deepest team out there, they don't have a ton of talent, at some point that's going to catch up to them. But no, they love one another. They trust one another. They trust their coach and their system. They don't get too far out over their skis, and I think that's what makes them good. I think we talk about parity in this time of year, right? We say things like parity and RPI is like what we talk about on the regular. Parity in college basketball is not just that the skill sets are all the same. The parity is that even the teams, the mid-majors that have five guys that have great chemistry, can compete with great talent. And I think that's what makes college basketball so great. It just takes all year for us to see that come together.
Who's Loyola's best player?
Dude, what day is it? I mean, that's the thing.
Tough.
What day is it? I honestly, when I watch it, and he's not this way every night, Marcus Towns, to me, is their best player. Overall, but again, I mean, Clayton Custer has his night. Even Cameron Crutwig, who reminds me more of Shrek than a basketball player, is highly effective. That's mean. I know. I probably shouldn't say that, but whatever. He's in the Final Four, so I'm the one getting laughed at. So it's that type of team, though. They have multiple players, and I think that's what makes them so good. And it's not that any of them are that good. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. None of them are that good, which makes the sum of the parts greater than the whole. Whatever that saying is, that's what it is for them.
John, how do they get so many good looks? I watched that offense, and like your big takeaway is, man, it's so efficient. They pass up good shots for great shots. It might take them 25 seconds in a possession, but they usually don't have to force one up or settle. They don't play a lot of one-on-one basketball. When you break them down, what do you think sets them apart offensively?
Well, there's a few things. First off, the ball changes sides of the floor. So many coaches talk about this, but then you watch them play and they don't actually do it. They talk about the first side of the floor, the second side, the third side, the fourth side. Well, what they're referring to is how many times the ball changes sides of the floor. Well, for them, the ball gets to the fourth side of the floor, which means the defense has to rotate back and forth. There are long rotations, and the rotations are even longer because all five guys can shoot the basketball. When all five guys can shoot the basketball game, it means the basketball, it's a long closeout, which means the guy has to rush out and take away that shot, which means the backside has to be present. So by the time the ball gets back to the fourth side, which means it's swung back and forth, the closeouts are longer, the defense is broken down, and that's what leads to that drive and kick or drive dish layup. It's so simple. Everybody out there can do it, but it's harder to do when you have a ton of talent because the talent thinks, and this is natural, this is human more than anything else, the talent thinks that I can make a play. I mean, that's the problem with a really talented team. The individual breaks down the play and breaks down the system because he thinks I can win this. Whereas this team understands we are at our best when all five guys are involved. That's what makes them so hard to cover.
Who's the best team left in the tournament?
Oh, God. You're going to put that on me? I've been wrong since day one. I would have told you Michigan State was going to win the whole thing, but goodness gracious, look what happened there. They couldn't make a shot. I would say Villanova, because Villanova has a lot of the things that I just discussed about Loyola, but they also have talent. They also have two of the best players in the country, Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson. So they're loaded in that sense of the way, like Loyola, where they trust one another, they trust the system, they trust their coach, they love playing hard, they actually take pride in it. But they also have great talent. So you add the talent with what Loyola has, and that's something special.
What did you make of the way that West Virginia-Villanova game got officiated? I thought that double technical they hit Konate with changed the game. And I thought it was weak call. What did you think?
It's frustrating. And here's one of the things that we don't talk enough about is the officials in these games are mixed crews. So some are one's a Big Ten guy, the other one does Pac-12 games, and the other guy does whatever else. They don't call the game the same way. So whatever position they're in at that moment, they may call one play. Well, as the ball goes down the floor, that official is no longer in that same guard position. They may be down on the baseline. So then the game's going to be called a different way down there. So the inconsistencies with officiating in the NCAA tournament is painful. They're all good guys. No one wants to do a bad job, but they all call the game differently, which leads to inconsistency not only in from half to half, but from one side of the floor to the other. So it's frustrating to see, and I do believe that officials watch some of this stuff back and feel like they have to get control of the game, and what they do is they use the second half to do it. And it screws everything up. It takes away the rhythm. It takes away the flow. Neither team is in control of the game. Neither team can figure it out. And so long as it's consistent, even if it's bad, and I'll use the analogy of an umpire calling balls and strikes, if the guy calls outside corner a strike in the first inning, and it might be outside, it could be a bad call. If he calls it in the second, third, fourth, and fifth inning, it's consistent and figure it out.
I agree, John.
Even if it's bad, figure it out. But they've been inconsistent, and that's been the problem.
Yeah, I agreed with that, with what you just said, because they let a lot go in the first half, and then it's almost like they tried to make up for it in the second half, and then before you know it, Konate and Miles were in foul trouble. What would surprise you more, Texas Tech over Villanova or Kansas over Duke?
Oh, Texas Tech over Villanova for sure. I mean, Kansas shoots the ball well from three. They're great from three, and they're going to go against the zone for 40 minutes. They're going to move the basketball, so they're also going to push it in transition. They get out and run. Whoever gets the rebound, unless it's Azubuki, they get out and run. I think that's where Duke is most vulnerable, and that it keeps them from getting their defense set. Shoot, even after a made basket, they get that thing out and run. Now, Texas Tech, I just think that Keenan Evans is going to have 40 points. He's just going to have that kind of night. And chances are he's going to be motivated to play Jalen Brunson because Jalen Brunson is probably the best player in the country. So I would be very surprised to see Texas Tech beat Villanova. But just by saying that, it's likely going to happen.
I'm surprised so many people are making it look or seem like Kansas doesn't have a shot later today. When I saw them in the Big 12 tournament, I thought they shot the ball like the Warriors. Between Makai Luke and Graham, they've got guys that can really score. And since Azubuike's come back and has looked healthy, I think they're a different team. What do they need to do to win that game against Duke this afternoon?
Well, I think you got to limit the opportunities for guys like Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter. I mean, they just throw the ball up to them. They don't even need to strategically feed them the basketball. And by strategically feed, I mean they don't have to be precision pocket passes. They just throw the ball up, and those guys go get it. I think you got to limit those opportunities, and that comes with two things. That comes with ball pressure, and it comes with forcing them to get a catch in a place where you as the defense are okay with it. And that's something that defenses don't talk about that enough. I was never a great defender, but what made me really good in college was I forced a better offensive player to catch it in a position where I could defend him. So if you focus on that first before they get the catch, you're going to have success against Duke. And for whatever reason, I don't get it. It's like the Duke Blue Kool-Aid. People just start drinking it somewhere around mid-February, and all of a sudden they're the favorite to win the national championship when there are other teams out there that have been consistent and have developed into a much better team at this point, Kansas being one of them.
Who's the coach you trust the most who's left in this field?
Porter Moser? I mean, honestly, and here's why. Porter Moser at Loyola has no fear whatsoever. He's like, it's house money. You know, he's got Sister Jean on his side. She's throwing prayers down or up. I guess you throw those prayers up. She's throwing prayers up left and right. They're just fearless. They've got nothing to lose at this point. if they lose by 30, they're still going to go back to Chicago and to a hero's welcome.
Yep.
If Duke loses by 10, no one's going to give a rip when they come back to Durham. I mean, that's the type of mentality I'm talking about. These guys can play fearlessly, which means their coach can just go out and coach the game. He doesn't have to do anything cute. Now, I don't think they're going to win. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I do think Michigan's going to win that game. But I love what Porter Moser's doing. Now, that being said, John Beilein might be one of my favorite coaches of all time, so I needed to throw that in.
John, I'm in Pittsburgh. Someone just sent me a tweet asking if you're going to go to the NIT games this week.
I will not be at the NIT. I'll be back in Chicago getting ready for the Final Four. Hey, Big Ten Network, man, I was happily rooting for Michigan because that means that my trip to the Final Four gets paid for. So, you know, people don't think about those important things. I mean, there's a reason why I was cheering for Michigan in that regard.
John, thanks so much, man. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.